Hallelujah. I want us to pray that even as the word of God is coming, be on the same wavelength as the word, that the word will find a place to sit and thrive in our hearts. Let's pray. Ibrando Shibraha Kabalabalaba Sataba. Imaraba Kato Brahandi Brakodo Sikahata. Mandi Protos Sibrehe Katalaba Kataya Rabada Suke. Komatayando Sibrolo Kataya Lebrahata. Ibaloyandos. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day that we are alive to see your face, even as your word of power is coming. It is our prayer that you help us open the eyes of our understanding so that we understand your word. Give us grace to hear and to do in the name of Jesus. I pray that your word that is coming forth will come forth as a prophetic word into our lives to catapult us, O God, from glory to glory and from grace to grace. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for this morning. You're all welcome to church today. Amen. We bless God. This is a unique church. Hallelujah. Great grace, great glory. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you what I call a coat of many colors. A coat of many colors. In the Bible, the issue of clothing is very important. And in fact, in our lives, clothing plays a very important role. In some circles, your attire speaks of your rank or what you do. If you see a policeman or a policewoman, you can see from afar that this person coming is a policeman because of the attire that is on the person. So God takes the matter of clothing very important. And I'm not talking about physical clothing. I'm talking about spiritual clothing. In the Bible, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, Bible says they sewed fig leaves into tunics, aprons to cover their nakedness. Then God came on the scene and Adam said, "I heard your voice and I was afraid. I ran to hide among the trees because I was naked." Now they had made effort to cover their nakedness, but they were still naked when they heard the voice of God. When the searching, piercing eyes of God was put on them, they were naked. Then God did something. God didn't just drive them out of the Garden of Eden. God also made for them coats of skin. The Bible says God made for them a coat or coats of skin. In other words, he killed an animal and removed the skin of the animal and used the skin of the animal to clothe man and his wife. So we see from the very first beginning that God clothes his people. God is into clothing his people. And in fact, throughout the Bible, you will see instances of that. For instance, when you come to the New Testament in Galatians 3:27, the Bible says, "As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." They have put on Christ, which means that God clothes the believer with Christ so that when God sees you coming from afar, God sees that Christ is coming, or a Christ-like person is coming. That is what we call the robe of righteousness when you put Christ on you. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, the Bible talks about the garment of praise in place of the spirit of heaviness. Isaiah 61, verse 3, it was talking about what the anointing does, or what the anointing, what Jesus, the anointed one, would do, or was coming to do when he comes into the world. And the verse 3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, that is those who mourn in the kingdom, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So there's a garment called praise that God uses to clothe his people when you are in a state of depression and your heart is heavy. You must ask God for the garment of praise. And as you begin to praise God, that garment of praise releases an antidote to depression. Now the last one is in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. You will also see that it's talking about a garment. It says, talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, from verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is a righteous act of the saints. Now, he was talking about the church, that the church will have the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church is the bride in waiting, or we have been espoused in marriage to Christ, and the wedding is going to take place in heaven, and that wedding is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says that the Lord gave the bride or the wife a garment, a robe of fine linen, and the garment was the righteousnesses or the righteous acts of the saints. Now, this one is not talking, it's not talking about the gift of righteousness. It's not talking about Christ being put on us. It's talking about the righteous acts or the righteous living of the saints. Now, when I say coat of many colors, I'm going to take you on a journey for you to know that God deals with us on two levels, basically. And every believer will have a coat of many colors. But the destination, or let me say the destiny of the church or the believer, is not to die with a coat of many colors, but for you to grow, for that attire, that garment, to be changed into another coat, which God also will put on you. The coat of many colors is the initial garment or coat or robe that God clothed his children with. It's a coat of many colors. In the Bible, the coat of many colors was given to the virgin daughters of the king. And the Bible compares the church to a virgin, a spouse in marriage to Christ. Let's come to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So when we talk about the coat of many colors, we're talking about what it says. Oh, that you would bear with me a little, you will bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me, for I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I've betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He was talking about the church, and said the church is a chaste virgin to Christ. In the Old Testament, the virgin daughters of the king were arrayed in a robe of many colors. Come to 2 Samuel 13:18. We're going to read a lot of scriptures, but that is very important so that we can get a context. 2 Samuel 13 verse 18. 2 Samuel 13:18. This was when Tamar was raped by Amnon. And it says, verse 18. Now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. So I just wanted you to know that in the scripture, the robe of many colors was for the king's virgin daughters. And I'm trying to compare the church with the daughter of the king who is a virgin. That is the church. Now, when you are born again, you are part of the church. So you are also part of the daughter of the king. Corporately, we are the virgin bride espoused to Christ. And individually too, when we are born again, we are part of the bride of Christ or the bride in waiting. So there's a transition, and God wants us to transition from one point to the other. Let me also let you know that it is not only the coat of many colors that the king's daughters wore. Come to Psalm 45 verse 13. Psalm 45 verse 13. If you read it in the King James, it will bring out certain words. Anybody with King James? Psalm 45 verse 13. King James. Yeah. Psalm 45 verse 13. Read verse 13.
Psalm 45 verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious indeed. Her clothing is of wrought gold.
Yes. Her clothing is of
wrought gold.
Her clothing is of wrought gold. Let me read the New King James. It says, the royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. Woven with gold. The King James says, of wrought gold. Then this one is woven with gold. Now, when it says woven, it means a weaving work, a needlework. Needle has been applied to the robe, you know, and it has been designed with gold. So I want to present to you that the king's daughter must wear the coat of many colors, then must grow to another level where she wears a coat of gold. Now, the believer must also, first of all, wear a coat of many colors, and then the coat of many colors must also grow into another garment, another robe or coat of gold. Of gold. A coat that has been wrought with gold. Needlework. Needlework means that it involves some piercing here and there. You know, it is something that is done gradually, meticulously. You know, something that is done carefully with needle. And this one is not machine work. It is needle work. Taking his time to weave it through the cloth. As you go along, you will get these two things. And we realize that the reason why in Revelation, the church was given fine linen as cloth or as a robe to put on just before the wedding. Now, the church is a virgin. The first garment that God gives the church is a robe of many colors. And that robe of many colors stands for the grace of God. The grace of God. Why? Because 1 Peter 4:10 talks about the fact that the grace of God is multifarious. Multifarious or manifold. Manifold. Now, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When we say manifold, we're talking about many-sided. Many-sided, multifarious, many-sided. A coat of many colors. That is the symbol or a picture of grace. Many-sided, many colors, many faces, many different sides. That is what God introduces the believer to when you become born again. The robe that is given to you is a robe of many colors. It has many sides to it, many dimensions, many giftings, many offices, many mansions. In my father's house, There are many mansions there. But the time will come when the church will put on the fine linen, which is the righteous deeds or the righteous acts of the saints. The coat of many colors is the robe of righteousness. Now, righteousness has two meanings in scripture. The first meaning is right standing with God. Second meaning is righteous act. The one that is for the right standing with God is the coat of many colors. That coat is put on you as a believer. It enables you to stand before God without any sense of guilt and stand before God without any sense of inferiority. That is righteousness. That is Christ being put on you. But when Christ is put on you, when the robe of many colors is put on you, there's a journey the believer must undertake to get to a place where now the robe that has been wrought with gold is put on you. And that one is what we saw in Revelation chapter 19, that it was the righteous deeds or the righteous acts of the saints. So, in short, I'm talking about the fact that as virgins going out to meet the Lamb, the bridegroom, we are given an initial oil which is free in our lamps. But that oil will not last us the whole journey. There will come a point where we will need extra oil, and that extra oil is not free. In the parable of the 10 virgins, there were 10 virgins. They were all virgins. Now, when they went out to meet the bridegroom, they all had oils in their lamps. That oil was given to them freely. That was a coat of many colors. It was given to them freely. They had it without any price. Now, when the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept, and it was midnight, and the voice awoke them and said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come forth to meet him." At that time, at that point, the oil in their lamps were finished. And what they needed to continue the journey was extra oil. But that extra oil was not free. That extra oil had to be bought. That is why they said, "It won't be enough for us and for you. Go and buy your own." They were not referring to the oil that they started with, but with the extra oil that they need to go beyond the midnight. Now, by the time I finish, you understand the reason why a lot of believers start very well but end poorly. You understand why many ministers start very well but end poorly. You understand why marriages start very well but end up poorly. Because if you get to a point where you must continue with the oil that you have bought. The initial oil is free. The coat of many colors is free. That one is free. But if you go through the journey or the process, that will lead you to the coat of gold. The coat that has been wrought with gold. As a king's daughter, you have the right to stay with the coat of many colors and enjoy it. But if you want to grow and you want to go forward, then the coat of many colors are taken away. And the coat of many colors, all the colors will combine to result into a coat wrought with gold. A coat wrought with gold by a needlework. So the extra oil is not free. It's not free. The garment of many colors was free, but the garment of gold was not free. It was woven with needle, which means that one involves some cutting. It involves some piercing. The needle will pierce the garment, and the gold will be wrought on the garment. Now, follow me. God will push you on to maturity, to a level of glory. God will put you on through circumstance. God will push you through many other things that will teach you, that will mature you, that will nurture you till you become thoroughly finished. fully equipped for every good work. That is God's desire. But he starts by giving us a coat of many colors. The problem is that when we get that coat of many colors, we are so enchanted by the beauty of the coat, and we admire ourselves, look at ourselves in the mirror, and we say, look at my coat of many colors. Is it not beautiful? My father gave it to me. It's beautiful. Look at red. Look at violet. Look at green. Look at blue. My coat of many colors. But that coat of many colors is not forever. For forever. God will take it away, and then the various colors will begin to play out in your life. That is when you really know what was put on you. That is when you really understand the thing that your father put on you. It wasn't just for display. It was for a purpose and for reigning. So there's a journey from the coat of many colors to the coat of gold. And every believer will go through that journey. If you want to reign, if you want to get to the place of dominion, the place of power, the place of glory, the place of the kingdom, then you must be prepared to go through the stages. And God will take you through for you to move from the coat of many colors to the coat of gold. Sometimes God himself will remove certain things from your life as part of pushing you to go further. You know, sometimes in our Christian lives, when we encounter God, we encounter his grace. The grace of God is more like his liberalness, his kindness, his riches, his warmth, his fatherly kindness, his love. The grace of God cannot be exhausted. It is so rich. Bible says, God, who is rich in grace, saved us from our sins and our trespasses. That is grace. That's the grace of God. We can stay at the level of grace forever because it is so enjoyable, so nice, so thrilling. We have not even been able to unravel the whole mystery of grace. The grace of God is a powerful thing. It is a very nice thing, very wonderful. So we can stay at the grace, the level of grace. We can stay there for our whole Christian life and we'll never grow. If you want to go to the realms, access deeper realms, higher heights, if you want to go, longer lengths, wider width, then you must move from the coat of many colors and allow God to take you through process for that coat to be wrought with gold, for it to become the coat of gold. When you get to that place where they are putting a coat of gold on you, somebody may say that, or somebody may think that, why is this person why is the coat of gold being put on this person? God doesn't give the coat of gold because you are a child. You are his child. He puts the coat of gold on you because you have paid for it. Every believer has access to the coat of many colors, the grace of God. But for the glory, it takes those who dare to go beyond the normal. Those who dare to pay the price. Those who dare to go deeper. Those who dare to surrender more to God. Yield more to God. Who dare to take God at his word. Who dare to spend the time with him. Who dare to sit at his feet. It takes those people for God to take them from the coat of many colors and put that coat of gold on them. It's not free. It's not cheap. It's not free. The things of God, at certain levels, they are free. At certain levels, they are not free. They are not free. For instance, God can give you many gifts at the level of grace. He can give you healing gifts, level of grace. Prophetic gifts, level of grace. Teaching gifts, level of grace. Because grace also means gifts. The multifaceted gift of God, grace of God, manifold grace of God, is multidimensional. Grace, charis, the Greek word charis, it also means gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, they are at the realm of grace. Charismata, charismata, gifts of the Spirit, they are all at the realm of grace. God gives the gifts without looking at anything. He gives the gifts haphazardly, lavishly. You don't pay any price. Otherwise, it's not a gift. You don't pay a price for a spiritual gift. Otherwise, it's not a gift. God gives it to you. Sometimes baby Christians are giving powerful gifts. You can be a baby Christian and God may take a powerful gift and put it on you. You didn't work for it. It's a gift. In the church of Corinth, the church of Corinth was the most carnal church in the Bible. And it was full of baby Christians, but it was the most gifted church in the Bible. Paul said that you come behind in no gift, in all speech and utterance. But chapter 3, he said, I could not speak to you as unto mature people, as unto spiritual. I spoke to you as unto carnal people, even as unto babes in Christ, because you were not able to handle, and even now you can't handle. And yet, they were operating in spiritual gifts. So, the realm of the gifts is the realm of grace. And God can give you many, many gifts as you want. But to transition to the realm of dominion and authority, it takes a process. To get to the realm of reigning, it takes a process. It takes time. It takes submission. It takes yielding. It takes surrendering. It takes knowing your lessons and doing them. So sometimes, that is why we are not supposed to be fascinated by gifts. You see, when you meet a man who has gone through process, gifts don't impress him. Gifts don't impress him. Because gifts are free. What must impress us is the glory. When you hit the glory realm, it's not about gifts anymore. It's about dominion. It's about authority. It's about his will. It's about his sovereignty. It's about the kingdom. It's about his way. It's about his nature. That is the glory realm. So the realm of coat of many colors, that's why you say many are called, but few are chosen. Let me tell you why. The reason is that many are called because that first stage is free. Few are chosen because few pay the price. In fact, he said the narrow way and the gate that leads to life. He said, few there be that find it. But the narrow way, the broad way, and the narrow gate is and the broad gate. He said, many there be that go on it. But for the narrow way and the gate of life, he said, few even find it. The reason why many are called, few are chosen, because many are called, few pay the price. Few want to go further because many are called and many settle for grace. Settle for that level. Don't not willing to move on to the next level of their Christian life. You know, look at Joseph. Joseph was clothed with a coat of many colors by his father. You see, one thing is that fathers will always clothe you with a coat. Brothers will always strip you of your coat. Brothers will always strip you. Fathers will always clothe you. That is, it's normal. Even in real life, that's how it is. Because when you show your coat of many colors and you are displaying it, brothers will be jealous. Fathers will clothe you. Brothers will strip you. So Joseph was clothed by his father. Come to Genesis chapter 39. You see something there. No, 37 first. Genesis chapter 37. Look at verse 2. This is the history of Jacob, Joseph. That's all I want you to know. The history of Jacob, Joseph. You see that it doesn't make sense. Are you talking about Jacob or Joseph? Have you seen it? This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17, what I want to say was that Joseph was the most important person Jacob had. Then he said, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. That is not true. It wasn't Joseph that was the only son of his old age. Benjamin was there. So Israel loved Joseph for some more reasons. He said, also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Many colors. When his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, the father gave him a coat of many colors, and Joseph thought that that was all there was to life. He was in his father's house, eating his father's food, enjoying his father's property, enjoying his father's life, father's love, comfort, shelter, everything, with a coat of many colors. And he thought that was all there was to life. He thought the coat of many colors made him special. So he displayed the coat and said, look at my coat of many colors. Look at my coat. But God was waiting for Joseph, waiting to push him into the process that will transition you from wearing the coat of many colors to wearing the coat of gold. When God saw that Joseph was reveling in the coat of many colors and priding in the father, that coat of many, that was a coat the father gave him, and that was a nice coat, and he has the nicest coat, and none of his brothers has that coat, and this coat is nicer than your coat, and this coat might have more colors than you have. Let me show you my colors. Have you seen the red, the blue, the violet? God took a needle. And God said, wait, I'm going to rot gold in your coat of many colors. Let me tell you something. There are times where God will suspend your gifts. If you have not experienced, you will experience it. God will suspend your gifts. Your gift will not work anymore. That is when he starts to stick the needle, rotting the gold in the coat. So, when Joseph heard that, God said, take the coat of many colors from him. But you see, the coat never left Joseph. Even though physically it left Joseph, spiritually, the coat was still on him. Because the coat, God must take a needle and begin to weave gold till the coat transitions from many colors to one color. Fine linen with gold. Like the garment that was given to the church. A garment of fine linen. Joseph eventually wore a coat of fine linen with gold. That is the ultimate. All the colors combined will transition into fine linen and gold. So Joseph was betrayed by the brothers, sold by his brothers. But before then, they took him, stripped the coat off, and they put him in a pit. So physically, the coat was stripped off. He was stripped of the coat. When you read Genesis chapter 37, you'll find that when they saw him coming, verse 23. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic. The tunic of many colors that was on him. So you see, it was on him. Joseph took that tunic wherever he went, it was on him. Because here he was traveling. He had left his father's house, but the coat was still on him. So they took that coat, they stripped him of that coat. And they put him in a pit. In fact, for Joseph, his own journey was from his father's house to the pit, to Potiphar's house, to prison, then to palace. And in all these areas, he had various garments that he was wearing. But the first coat of many colors didn't leave him. It was an outplay of the various colors that he had in the coat. So they put him in a pit. In a pit. Alone. Secluded. Separated from his brothers. Persecuted. Avoided. For God to take you from the coat of many colors to the coat of gold, sometimes you will go through seclusion. You will go through separation. You will be avoided. You will go through persecution. In fact, you will be put in a pit. You will get dirty. And Joseph thought that his end had come because the coat had been taken away. But you know, the coat was taken away physically, but spiritually was still there. Jesus Christ was also stripped of his coat. But for him, he had already stripped himself. So when they stripped of his coat, it was nothing. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. When he was coming, he stripped himself, and then he took out the coat of a human being, the coat of a servant, the coat of a low servant. So when they stripped him, it didn't make any difference to him. But for Joseph, he was stripped. His reputation was at stake. He was disgraced. Now, he had a coat of many colors symbolizing a great future of many opportunities, many prophetic words, different colors. But the next thing was that he was stripped. It was like the vision was shattered. Seeing the sun, the moon, the stars bowing to me, all came to nothing. Sheep standing up, my sheep standing up, yours bowing to mine, all came to nothing at the point. He was in the pit. At that time, one of the colors was displaying. Even though the coat had been taken away, the colors were manifesting in his life. Now you see, he said, you have the coat of many colors, but when God begins to show you the details of the colors, you run away. He was experiencing color red. Color red and black. Total darkness. Dryness. Loneliness. In a pit. And that was God's way to the garment of wrought gold. The ways of God, our Bible says, his ways are unsearchable. His path past finding out. His ways are serpentine. Sometimes, when God is working in you, you might think the devil is at work. The way God works sometimes, if you don't take care, you may think it's the devil. I'm telling you. Because the journey from the coat of many colors to the coat of wrought gold is not an easy journey. Do you know that the Bible says, as the eagle stirred up the nest of it's her young ones. So God will stir up. So God will bear you up. So God will do to you. When we read that scripture, we think that it is so nice. Let me explain to you. The mother eagle, when it's about to lay the eggs, he will pull off feathers and fur from her belly. And he will put them on the nest. But before then, he puts thorns and thistles. Things that will pierce. That is what he uses to mend the cage or the nest. Then he will put the feathers and all of that on the thorns and the sharp objects. Then he will hatch the eggs on that. So the eaglets, they come and they land on a soft, very comfortable something. And that's where they grow. The mother will go and will get food for them and bring the food. Every day, mother will go and bring food. They're happy. Thank you, mother. Mother is good. Oh, mommy is the best cook in the world. My mommy is the best cook in the world. And they're happy. Now, when it gets time for them to fly and they're not flying, the mother will begin to pull out the feathers. Then the thorns will begin to pierce them. That is, he makes them uncomfortable so that they will fly. Sometimes God will bring certain things your way so that it will push you to the next level. You may see it as betrayal, opposition. It is God's way of pushing you to the next level. You may see it as a pit, but it is God's way of moving you to the next level. You may see it as opposition. You may see it as suppression. You may see it as the devil, but it's God. That is part of God's. If you don't understand, you will grow bitter. Joseph could have become bitter against his brothers for putting me in the pit. But you know, the benefit of process, when he got to Egypt, he was a total man. He could have a heart to forgive his brothers. That is the benefit of going through God's process, full process. If he had abandoned the process at a certain place, he wouldn't have been able to embrace his brothers. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God sent ahead of you to preserve a generation." He was beginning to see from God's perspective. So the mother eagle will now take one of the eaglets, put it on the back. Then she will fly to a very high height. Then he will drop him. And the eaglet will be struggling because now he has grown wings, feathers, brains, but he has not learned to fly yet. So the mother eaglet will lift him to the top. If you are not flying, then he will leave you. Then you are coming. Then the eaglet is struggling and is, you know, doing this, shooting his arm. What is he doing? His muscles are being exercised. And as he learns to do this, he's learning to fly. Then just when he's about to crash, the mother will come and sweep below him and carry him again at her back. Then take him to another high height and leave him. About 2, 3, 4 times, the fourth time, you will see the eaglet now flying. Now when the mother takes him up and lifts him, he will soar in the air. That is exactly how God treats his children. As I said, as the eagle stirred her nest, so do I stir you. So have I borne you on eagle's wing. That's exactly how God. So God's training is not easy. God's training is not pleasant sometimes. The things sometimes you go through, they are not pleasant. But those are the very things that God will use to rot in you. Gold. So Joseph could have been bitter. He could have complained. In a pit, your garment is a filthy garment. A filthy garment. It's filthy. A filthy garment. Unattractive. Disgraceful. Paul said, God has displayed as the apostles as the scum of the earth. He said, as unattractive. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 4. It gets to a point where your garments will be dirty. Not because you have made them dirty, but because you have been put in the pit. Joshua the high priest was wearing filthy garments. Then Satan wanted to accuse him, and God said no. Then God took away the filthy garment. Now, from the pit, Joseph was sold to Potiphar's house. This time, the garment that was put on him was a slave or a servant's garment. You see, as part of God's training for you to move from your coat of many colors to the coat of gold, your destiny, God will put you through the servant period. Great destiny, but a servant. Great gifting, but not recognized. Not given a chance. Not even acknowledged. Great destiny, but he was serving. At that time, Joseph was learning to reign. You don't learn to reign by sitting on the throne. You learn to reign by serving, by going down to serve. You don't learn to rule by holding a scepter. You learn to rule by holding a broom, holding a brush. That's how we learn to rule. That's God's training. Many people want to jump from the coat of many colors straight to coat of gold without passing through Potiphar's house. It's not possible. God will take you through Potiphar's house for you to learn to serve. Before you lead, you must serve. God wants servants who lead, not leaders who serve. Servants who lead, not leaders who serve. We must be servants at heart. People who, Jesus Christ said, he said, which of you, having a servant, will tell the servant that, come, sit down and eat. But will not tell the servant that, you, get yourself and serve me supper. Let me eat and stand for me to eat. And after I've eaten, that you too will eat. Then he said, I am amongst you as the one who serves. He that will be great should first learn to serve. The journey to your gold or your glory or to your place of importance that God has aimed for you, that journey you will pass through the village of servanthood. The village of servant, where you are a servant, you are wearing the cloak or the robe of a servant. Do you know the problem I have found with many people, especially ministers? Many of them cannot sit down to be taught. Many of those who never went through God's school, one of the things you see about them is that they can't sit down to be taught. They are not teachable because they have not been through process. When they are not speaking, they are useless. When you are not preaching and you look useless, it means you have not gone through God's school. There are some people, when they are holding the mic, they are preaching. When somebody is preaching, they'll be sleeping. They have not gone through process. They have not learned to serve. They have not been tutored. They have not sat under authority, sat down to be taught. It is one vital ingredient. If you want God to use you, you must sit down to be taught, discipled, to be nurtured in the truth. That's a problem. It's a problem. It's a problem in the church. You see many people who are leaders, but they have not been through process. You see that there's no humility because he has not been through process. The person he wants to be served, he doesn't want to serve. That is a deficient product, but not in God's school. In God's school, you will go through the process. You can never skip the process unless you abandon it. If you want God to use you, you want God to take you to your wealthy place, your pleasant place, allow God to take you through service. Somebody called me and said he was listening to one of my teachings, and I said, if I have a desire for the mic, it means that you are not there yet. And he was asking me, I don't know how he got the message. He said, the law of choice. He called me yesterday. He said, I listened to your teaching, the law of choice, and you were saying that if you are somebody who rushes for the mic, you're not ready to preach. I said, yes, it's true. If you are somebody who is rushing for the microphone, you're not ready to preach. You have not finished the school. You must get to a point where the microphone is put in your hand. Not you rushing for the microphone. Yeah. It might be put into your hand. In God's school, that's what God will do. Now, Joseph was in Potiphar's house. Joseph was somebody who knew more than Potiphar did. But he was still a slave. He was still a slave. He knew more than Potiphar. To the extent that when Potiphar met him, he said, hey, let me leave everything in this guy's care. Because he knew the principles of management. Potiphar didn't even know anything apart from the food he ate. He didn't care for anything else. But Joseph knew how to manage the home. The home was literally in Joseph's care. Everything, including Potiphar's pay, everything, he was managing his money, everything for him. And yet he was a servant. Gifted, but serving. Gifted, but not recognized. There's nothing frustrating that for God to put you at a place where you feel you can do more. You feel you can do more than this. God says, do this. You think you are gifted. God says, no. Stay here under authority. That stage of your Christian life is to build authority. People don't know that you can be a man of authority if you're not under authority. Authority is not conferred. Authority is built. God builds authority in you. He doesn't put authority on you. He builds it in you by the things you go through. Ranking in the spirit is not by your gift, not by your speech, not by your eloquence or by your power. Ranking in the spirit is by your stature. It's by the thing that you have been through, the school, God's school, the process you have been through gives you the rank. And God will measure for you, then you cross. He will measure, you cross, measure, then you cross. That's why Jesus Christ said, and the Bible says, where he was hurt by his stripes, the same place we are healed. Where he was hurt, the same place our healing came from. When Paul was challenged, anytime he was challenged, people challenge authority. You know what he referred to? You know Paul's credentials. Anytime they challenge him and say, you are not an apostle, he will say, 3 times I've suffered shipwreck. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. I spent a day in the deep. He said, I've been in peril of robbers, of my own countrymen. I've been beaten with rods. That was Paul's credential. When they said, Paul, you are not an apostle, you are a false apostle. He said, look, I've suffered this, that. I've been through this, that. That was his credential. He didn't say, look, I'm not an apostle. Look, I've healed cripples. I've opened blind eyes. I've unstopped deaf ears. Look at mine. I have 1,000 churches. God's ranking is not those things at all. Are those things not important? I'm not saying that. Do we want to have more churches? Yes. Do we want to see miracles, healing the blind, the cripples, the deaf, raising the dead? Yes. Me, I want to see those things and even more. I want to see people who are dead for 2 weeks being raised to life. I'm telling you, I want to see those whose breasts have been cut, growing new breasts. I want to see amputated limbs growing. That's what I'm yearning for. So I'm not downplaying those things. What I'm saying is that those things don't determine your rank. There are some people who may be in class 2. And in class 2, you are first. It doesn't mean that you are in class 6. You're not even in class 3. You are in class 2, but you are first. Know that you are in class 2, but just that you are first among class 2 students. Yes. Everybody must know your rank, know your position. That is why there are a lot of people in the church today indisciplined. No authority, nothing. Indisciplined people, disorderly. Just get up, do this, do that, nothing. Because people have not been through process. You can't do that when God takes you through process. You come out as a refined product. You see people, 1 or 2 gifts. I'm starting a ministry. I'm starting a church. 1 or 2 gifts. I'm doing this. Too much disorderliness in the church. People don't wait till God has turned them into wine. They start serving themselves to the world. He still turns water into wine, but it takes time these days. It takes longer time these days before he turns you into wine for you to serve your world. Joseph knew more than Potiphar, but he was in Potiphar's house. That is why at this time of your life, your greatest temptation is to take shortcuts. When you are in Potiphar's house, the frustration is that I know more than Potiphar, but I'm in Potiphar's house. I'm literally in charge of everything in this house. Why can't I take the wife also? That is where your greatest challenge will be, to take shortcuts at this time. And Potiphar's wife will offer you shortcuts. Shortcut, compromise. Many people compromise because the hardship is too much. Because they get to a point where the hardship they are going through is too much for them. The burden is too much, and they compromise. They sell their birthright for a morsel of meat, a pot of stew, bean stew, because the hardship is too much. At Potiphar's house, you will be a slave. You will be a royal in a slave's garment in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife will come, and she will try to give you shortcuts. Shortcut to where you are going. But that shortcut will shorten your destiny. God meant you for the palace, but Potiphar's wife will give you a shortcut, and you will end up being in charge of Potiphar's estate. God meant you to be the president, but you can end up as a village chief. It depends on what you want. Do you want God's best, or you want anything? Do you want to get to God's place where He has designed for you, or you want to get to just a place that is better than somebody? Shooting stars. People have become shooting stars because when you get to Potiphar's house, you want quick escape. So Joseph will just compromise. Oh, let me just once. The woman, just once. Then she will give him immediate benefits, temporary benefits, more meat in his soup. Potiphar's wife will give you plenty of meat on your food, because she was a powerful woman. But you will never get to Pharaoh. You will never get to your throne. You will never get to the coat wrought with gold. That is why there are many people, just before they hit their glory realm, something else will take them away. He said, I'm at the point of death. What will this birthright do me? Bible says, he sold his birthright and despised it. It takes process. You see, there are many people, they skip God's process, and they get a counterfeit throne, and they sit on it, and the devil comes and knocks them off. Because they compromise with Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife has given them a seat instead of a throne. And they are happy they are reigning, but you are reigning on a seat, but God destined you to reign on a throne. One day the Lord asked me, he said, I said, oh God, this process, this thing you are taking me through is too much. He said, it depends on what you want. He said, it depends on what you want. Do you want just a local ministry that will bless some few family, friends, and few people? Or you want what I want for you? Do you want just some local thing? You want just some any guy? I mean, some man who can be giving you things today and tomorrow he will just dump you? Or you want a proper man? You want a total man? Then don't compromise. Know that nothing good comes cheaply. Everything that is good, there's a price to it. You pay a price for it. Do you want just any ordinary marriage, or you want a marriage that is a paradise? Then don't just rush, and don't just be rushed. Take your time. pay the price, spend the time, go through the process. Do you want just a local ministry with some few thousands of cities? Or you want an international ministry that God has done for you? Then take your time, pay the price, go through the process. I was talking to somebody and I said, look, Joyce Meyer started ministry when she was 42 years. 42 years. In fact, she got born again 42 years. Wigglesworth, 57 years. A missionary is not a mission in a hurry. We are in too much haste in a church today. Haste. Somebody said, he called me and he said, look, me, I want to go on radio. I said, why are you going on radio? He said, but why are you in ministry? People must hear your voice. I said, look, it's not everybody's voice that we must hear. In fact, there are some we must hear their voice. There are some we must hear their voice and see them. There are some we must not hear their voice at all. And I said, if God has not put you on radio and you first go on radio, you will not make any impact. You will make no impact because it is God who must put you there. Because listen, you don't just get up and say, I'm going to the radio. We have the prince of the power of the air to deal with. You have not encountered him, dealt with him. You want your voice to be heard on air. I was telling you that one newspaper called me and said, we want to put you on at the front page. Just last week, he said, he called me, newspaper, I want to put you on the front page and put your profile on the front page and, you know, do your story, advertise the ministry and all that. And the Holy Spirit said, no. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. He said, oh, it won't cost you any money. We are doing it for you. We want to hype you, promote you. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Does it mean that it's wrong for me to come with newspaper? No, it's not wrong. In fact, if the Holy Spirit had not said no, I may have thought that it was time because I had a prophecy concerning that. What I'm saying is that we must not be in a hurry. There's too much haste in the church. That is why these days, people don't want to do anything for free. It is a problem. We don't want to sacrifice anything for God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So Joseph was stripped again in Potiphar's house. But you know, at that time, he had come to know that the garment is not outside, it's inside. So he wasn't bothered. Potiphar's wife also stripped him. In fact, he left his garment, but the woman held on onto his garment and he left it for the woman. He was stripped. But he knows that he himself even put off the garment. Said, take it, I don't want it. When you go through process, one of the marks of a person who has been through process is that you can always lay aside your garments. Jesus was able to lay aside his garment and wash their feet. Then after that, he put his garment on again. There are many people who can't lay aside their garment. They can't lay aside their pride, can't lay aside their age, their wealth, their status, their everything. Let me give you an example in the Bible. Luke 1:1 was written to Theophilus. He was a government official. And Luke said, of all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach, I've conducted research and I've written these things to you, most excellent Theophilus, honorable Theophilus. Acts 1:1, Luke said, oh, Theophilus. He didn't add honorable Theophilus, most excellent Theophilus. He said, oh, Theophilus. Do you know why? Because this man, Theophilus, was a government official. He read the story of Jesus. He said, if this person was so simple, who am I? He said, brother, call me Theophilus. He said, brother, just call me Theophilus. He was comfortable with the brothers. That is a mark of somebody who has been to God's school. Because we don't finish God's school, that's why we have a lot of pride in the church. Today, we are copying the wrong things. We are copying the wrong things. There are many people who don't have what the world calls self-esteem. Eh? But God doesn't call it that. God calls it confidence in God. And because of that, they always try to fill the void with many things. Now, the next one that Joseph went through from Potiphar's house was the prison. He went to the prison. He was wearing a prisoner's garment. At that point in your life, you are ready but restricted. In fact, you are ready but restricted. Anointed but restricted. Trained but restricted. God is still restricting you. In fact, in prison, he was even solving problems for the prisoners, interpreting their dreams. But God was still saying, it's still not time. He tried to let people remember. He said, oh, please remember me when you go and stand before Pharaoh. But God made the guy forget. After 2 years, because this is a time where God has put in your heart the desire for the nations of the world, but you are working in a village. God says, I've given you the world, but you have not even taken one city for him. It's a time where God will say, go, go, I'm with you, go. But he will still restrict you. Sometimes you don't understand. You may think the devil is fighting you. It's God. God may tell you, now is the time. And he may still restrict you. Why? Because he had to train him to solve problems for Egyptians before he can reign over Egyptians. And he was solving their problems in the prison, wearing a prisoner's attire. Hallelujah. This is a stage in your life where you experience betrayal. You experience ungratefulness. The guy he interpreted the dream for, the guy was restored to his place. He said, when you stand before Pharaoh, remember, the Bible says, the guy went and for 2 years forgot about Joseph. That was a good place for Joseph to be very bitter. Very, very bitter. This is a place where you may sacrifice for somebody, the person may disappoint you. You may open your heart for somebody, the person may shut you down. This is a point where you can pour your heart, into people and they will still despise you. This is when you see people who are with you and those who are not with you. It is when you are in prison, when you are prepared but restricted. That is when you see people who are for you and those who are not for you. The time you get to your life, people will say, please, we can't wait for you. We are too slow. I want to move on. You are too slow. You have all these dreams, the sun, the moon bowing down. You are here in prison solving, just interpreting people's dreams. And we can't wait for you. We can't wait for you. The time where you pour your heart out into people and they pay you back with the opposite. All these things are part of God's training. Betrayal, disappointment, rebellion, ungratefulness. All those things will happen to you will happen to you to prepare you for the throne. So don't curse people. Don't be killing people. Because it's part of God's plan for your life. It's part of God's plan for your life. There are people who are meant to desert you, leave you, so that you know that you don't put your trust in the arm of flesh. There are people who will come into your life as blessings. Others will come as lessons. You must know the two and embrace the two. Some of them will come as lessons. God will use them to teach you a lesson, to train you. Because where you are going, you must have a large heart to embrace everybody. The good, the bad, and the ugly. If Joseph had become prime minister, as soon as he got to Egypt, he would have messed up. He would have messed up. He would have been bitter. He would have been insecure, an insecure leader, bitter person, impatient, killing people, because the pain of what his brothers did to him was still in his heart. But God took him through process. So it got to a point, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It got to a point, he said, it was God who sent me ahead of you. It wasn't you who sold me to Egypt. It was God. That is the finished product. At this point in your life, for instance, in this ministry, this is the time where you will see that there are people that we have raised and they will despise us. People that we have raised, they will despise you. Why? You are ready but restricted. Restricted. I mean, look at where we are now with three organists. It's not easy. Three organists, we are blessed. Punching the keyboard. Somebody can say, this place, let them grow small and I'll come. Anyway, the last place is the palace. And I'm ending. And from the prison, he was stripped again. Let me read this one to you. Genesis 41 verse 14. Quickly. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. He was stripped again. They changed his clothing. But this time, he was just marking time, waiting for the opportunity, waiting for the breakthrough. You see, one thing is that when the time comes, everything will work together to release what God has destined for you. If you can wait for God's time, when God's time comes, everything, let me tell you, you don't tell the child when the child should come. When the time is not due, you can chimp, you can push, you can do anything, everything, the child will not mind you. When the time is due, you may be in church, leading worship, you may be praying, preaching, you may be at the supermarket, the child will say, my time is up, I gotta come. You may say, wait, let me get, say, no, my time is up. When your time comes, even nature will work for you. If you have to push and scheme and shortcut, your time is not up. When your time comes, what God has prepared for you, nobody can take it from you. Nobody. There is a donkey no man has ever sat on waiting for you. When your time comes, that donkey will be sent for and will be brought to you, and you will sit on that donkey. No man has ever sat on it. No man. No man. There is a man God has prepared for you. No woman can take him. There's a woman. No man can take him. Don't be in a hurry. If it is yours, nobody can take it. There's a ministry. No one can take it from you. Nobody. When the time comes, nobody can stop you from shooting. Nobody. No human being can prevent you. I'm telling you, even your enemies will work together with you to release what God has planned for you. when your time comes. God confused Pharaoh because of Joseph. He confused Pharaoh and confused all of Pharaoh's magicians. They were interpreting dreams for Pharaoh, but this dream, nobody interpreted it. Only Joseph could do that. And what was he? He was in the prison, minding his own business. Someone has betrayed me in 2 years. You know, I was brought here. I didn't do anything. Potiphar's wife, you know, and she tempted me. I didn't yield. And, you know, she falsely accused me. And I'm here. And here too, I came. I'm doing my best. I've even interpreted a dream for this guy. And he's gone 2 years. He has not remembered me. 2 years. Now 2 full years. And nobody's minding me. And I'm here in the prison. And where is God? Is that how we serve God? Is that how God is? I mean, is that how can God be so insensitive? While he was going through all this in his heart, he didn't know that God was cooking something for him. Sometimes we have to stretch our necks to look at the other side so that we can be at peace. If you knew what God was preparing for you, you would keep your mouth shut. If you knew what was coming your way, you will close your eyes to the problems you are seeing. You will close your eyes to the things you are seeing. And then you will fix your eyes on God. And you will mark time. Now, 42. The last one, verse 42. When Joseph came, look at verse 42. 41, 42. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Now finally, the coat of many colors has become a coat wrought with gold. Look at the processes. White and gold. It has become a coat of linen, fine linen and gold. Now Joseph was ready to reign. They put a scepter in his hand and Joseph was exercising authority. At that point, nobody can bring you down. At that point, when you allow God to take you through process and you take your time and you get God's best, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can bring you down. When God enthrones you, no human being can dethrone you. Nobody. Because it says he sets up one, he removes kings, and he sets up kings. When it is your time, I'm telling you. So Joseph was finally clothed with white and gold. The final cloth God will clothe you with is white and gold. You may have the coat of many colors, but wait for the coat of gold. That is the ultimate. When you are in your gold, I'm telling you, when you are in your gold, you are in your gold. Don't fight for what is not yours. Allow it to go. When what is yours comes, that is when you will be in your natural element. You see, people are fighting to maintain what didn't belong to them in the first place. And so there's always a lot of chichi. But when what is David was in the wilderness when they sent for him. He said, we will not sit down till he comes. Then they poured oil on him. He didn't scheme to be anointed. He didn't use connections. He didn't do what now they do, the term as whatever. I mean, hype. No. Hallelujah. Now, let me finish. Four colors. Okay. I missed up. Four colors. Write them down. Red, blue, white, purple. Red, blue, white, purple. Red, blue, white, purple. Those are the four colors God used throughout the Old Testament. Red, blue, white, purple. There are four things Joseph maintained. Purity, faithfulness, love, and service. Four things. They never departed from Joseph's life. As you go through whatever process you're going through, Let these four things be with you. A life of purity, a life of faithfulness, a life of love, and a life of service. Hallelujah. When you go through God's process, Joseph was a man who loved all, forgave all, had compassion, had wisdom, was accountable, had purity. God's end product is to be like Jesus. James 1:4, he said, talking about faith, and he said, the trial of your faith worketh perseverance. And so we should allow perseverance to have its full work in us, that we will be perfect, complete, and entire, lacking nothing. 2 Timothy 3:16. He said that the man of God will be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want the coat of many colors like that? Or you want the coat of gold? Joseph could have stayed in his father's house and wouldn't have heard of him. I mean, he would have died in Cana, and during the famine, all his generation would have perished. There's always somebody who would dare to go the next step, not for yourself, but for generations yet unborn. Somebody who would dare to go the next step in prayer for his family. Somebody who will dare to go the next step in life for the sake of people who look up to you. Are you willing to wait for God's time? Are you willing to go through God's process? Are you willing to pay the price? Or are you content with grace? Do you want grace or you want glory? You want grace or you want glory? Now, when we argue about the grace, oh, grace is this, grace is that, grace is that, grace is that. Grace is God's riches, inexhaustible riches of God. But glory is God's ultimate. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are praying. We are going before God and we are telling God, give me the strength to stay faithful, to stay pure, to walk in love, to have a servant's heart. Let's begin to pray. Oh yes, Lord. Give us grace. Give us grace, strength to stay pure for you, O God. To stay faithful. Remain faithful to you, to your vision, faithful to your call, faithful to ourselves. Give us the grace to walk in love, to eschew bitterness, complaining, murmuring, clamoring, and the grace to have a heart of a servant, to serve, lay aside our garments, and serve. Prepare to go through the process. Prepare to endure the season. Prepare to handle all the movements. Make us thoroughly finished unto every good work. Every good work, that we may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. That we will not lack anything. We will not lack anything. That the enemy will not find anything in us. He said, the priest of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. We don't want, when God has shot us into limelight, that the enemy pulls us down because we didn't finish God's school. We want to finish his school in due course, in due season. When our waters are turned into wine, the world will taste of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, O God, not to compromise, not to bend the rules, not to bow to the idol. Do not bow to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. It doesn't matter the pressure. You stay true. It is possible to win by righteousness. Do not bow nor bend for the sake of convenience. Do go through the process and pay the price for the sake of the world, for the sake of the generations yet unborn, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the call of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are praying this last but one prayer. We are praying that God, give me the discerning ability to reject counterfeit garments, to reject garments that are not for me. You know, David had the wisdom to say that Saul's, I will not walk in Saul's garment because I've not tried them. He stayed with his garment and God gave him his proper garment. We are praying that give me the wisdom, give me the discerning ability to reject counterfeit garments. Give us the wisdom. Give us the ability to reject the source and wait for the David. To reject the vastness and wait for the Estes. To reject the counterfeit and wait for the real. Give us the grace to reject the Ishmael and wait for the Isaac. Give us the grace, discerning ability to reject counterfeit. Counterfeit authority. Counterfeit power. Counterfeit promotion. Counterfeit exaltation. Counterfeit prominence. Counterfeit riches. We reject them. We want the one that endures. The one that will last. The one that will benefit society. Will benefit generations. God will give you your own garments in due time. He will clothe you with gold. If you will not give up, if you will not bend the rules, if you will not compromise and wait for your time, you are not in a hurry. He will give you your gold. Nobody can take your place. Nobody can sit on your donkey. Nobody will sit on your donkey. Nobody will do your thing. Nobody will take your ministry. Just stay under God. Just stay in course. Just stay on course and go in process. Stay in blessing. Stay in relationship. Stay in faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Maliba Shata Bataya, Moraba Shata Bataya, Mandi Pakatosa, Ibrahima Shata Bataya. Go for glory. Don't seek stature in the spirit. Six stature in the spirit. Don't go for titles. Don't go for the form. Go for the content. Go for the life. Don't go after the form and deny the power thereof. Go for the life. Thank you, Lord. We are praying this prayer. We are praying that God should give us the grace, the same grace He gave to Jesus, for Him to come down from heaven, take upon Himself, make Himself of no reputation. That God should help us to get that same grace where we will strip ourselves, Jesus, before being stripped by God. Okay. That if you strip yourself, that is humility. When God strips you, that's humiliation. We don't want God to humiliate us. We want God to give us grace. It takes grace to humble ourselves. Oh, and it takes, God gives grace to the humble, but it takes grace to humble ourselves.
Jesus.
Let's pray for that grace.
In the name of Jesus.
Give us grace. Give us grace to make ourselves of no reputation, like you did. You said, I can myself do nothing. I can do nothing of myself. Give us grace to know that we stand by faith. We stand by grace. We stand by your grace. Give us grace to humble ourselves. For the journey is long. The journey is long. Help us, Lord, to move step by step. To humble ourselves. Humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Clothe us with humility. Grace to humble ourselves. Grace to humble ourselves. Grace to humble ourselves. To go through the process. To pay the price. To spend the time. In the name of Jesus. To wait for your best. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We are praying this last prayer for Ghana. Ghana will not die.
Jesus' name.
Ghana will live.
Jesus'
name. We are praying. We are declaring to the atmosphere. Ghana will not die. Ghana will live.
Jesus.
The plans of God for Ghana will come to pass.
In the name of Jesus.
This country will be clothed with the proper clothing.
Yes, Lord.
Glory. Let's pray.
Shout out.
In the name of Jesus. We decree. Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. Ghana will live. Ghana will prosper. In the name of Jesus. Revival is coming to Ghana. In the name of Jesus. Revival is coming to Ghana. In Jesus' name. God's plan for this nation. God's plan for this nation will come to pass. No demon from hell can stop God. We forbid that. We forbid that. In the name of Jesus, let the agenda of God for this nation prevail. The destiny of this nation is not in the hands of politicians. It's in the hands of the saints. It's in the hands of the saints. Let God's will be done. Let God's power be seen. Let God's sovereignty be brought to bear on this nation. We speak peace on our borders. Let a strong man, the divine strong man of Ghana, be strong. Arise and speak for this nation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise.
In the name of Jesus.
We give you glory. Father, we thank you for what you've released into our spirit. We pray, oh God, that this word will stay with us. Let this word stay in our spirits forever. Do an indelible work in our hearts. Let this word, oh God, transition from our minds into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, that you will give us grace. Grace to live, grace to endure, grace to go through. Enabling grace, sustaining grace. Give us prevailing grace. Give us all grace. Let all grace abound. All grace. For all your purposes in our lives. We don't want to miss even one of the things you have for us. Help us, Lord, to go through from the coat of many colors to the coat of gold. And we know, God, that you will clothe us. You will clothe us with gold. We will not be found walking naked. We thank you for Ghana. We thank you that we are a blessed nation. Thank you that Ghana is experiencing revival. Thank you that your revival, your floods of revival has been released over this nation. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.